Hi, my name is Simon, but, well, it's Peter. I go by Peter now. Ever since I started following Jesus the Messiah, he gave me this new name, Peter, so that's what I go by. I understand that you're all here to celebrate the Christmas season. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Jesus' mother, Mary, she told us about what happened once. She said that when she was a young girl, a young woman, she was a betrothed virgin, and the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said that she would carry the Messiah that all of Israel had been waiting for. She would carry the one who was going to save Israel and save the whole world. And so she miraculously gave birth and named him Jesus. And he would indeed save the whole world. So you can imagine my surprise when Jesus told all of us disciples that he was going to be crucified, that he literally was going to be tortured to death. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. How could this be? How could he save the whole world and yet die? For 3 years, I had followed him. I had done whatever he had told me to do. I carried supplies. I always made sure my sword was sharpened so that if we ran into bandits while we traveled all over Judea and all over Galilee, we wouldn't run into any problems. I never knew for 3 years where our next meal was going to come from. I never knew for 3 years where we were going to sleep. And I followed him, and now he here is telling us that he's going to die, that he's going to be crucified. How would you respond to Jesus' crucifixion? I'll tell you how one of his women disciples responded. We were shortly before Passover. We were in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and we were all having this meal. And then one of Jesus' women disciples, she comes, and she has this alabaster jar, and she breaks it open, and she dumps the whole content onto Jesus' head. I mean, it's normal to put like a little bit of perfume and fragrant oil on someone's head while we ate, because let's be honest, we smelled a lot. And so it enhanced the meal, and it was a nice smell. But she took the whole thing and she dumped it on him. It didn't just stay in his hair, it went down his hair, into his beard, soaked his clothes. So I stood up and I said, "What did you do that for?" And then Matthew said, "That's pure nard. Do you know how much that costs?" And Judas said, "We could have sold that to the poor and given the money to the poor and helped them out." And Jesus stood up. And then he scolded us. And he said, "How dare you? Leave her alone. What this woman did for me was a noble thing. She has anointed my body for my burial." Again, with this crucifixion talk. Again, with this torturous death talk. How would you respond to Jesus' crucifixion? I'll tell you how Judas responded. He was so angry at being scolded that he stormed out of the room. And let me tell you, I almost followed him. I do not like being scolded. So a few days later, we were in Jerusalem. And us 12 disciples, his closest followers, were in an upper room in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover meal. And while we're eating the meal, Jesus interrupts our eating. And he says, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." We all stop eating. And I have to be honest with you, I was afraid it might be me he's talking about, because I, not intentionally, but I did things, you know, and I said things that I shouldn't say. But anyway, I said to him, "Lord, it's not me, is it?" And then James said, "Surely not I, Lord." And John said, "Lord, it's not me, is it?" And Jesus said, "Oh, it's the one who dipped his hand in the bowl with me." "Okay, what are you talking about? I don't understand it." And then Judas said, "Surely not me, Rabbi." And then Jesus and Judas, they had this really strange interaction. And Jesus said to him, "You have said it." In that moment, it was like the room got dark. I was no longer aware of my surroundings, of anyone or anything. Jesus gave new meaning to the Passover meal. The Passover meal which we ate in remembrance that God had delivered Israel from their slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the elements of that meal and he gave them new meaning. He took one of the matzah wafers and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat it." So we passed it around and we ate it. And then he took a cup filled with wine. And he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and establishes the new covenant with you. Take and drink it." So he drank it. And I didn't understand it because first rule when I was a kid growing up at the dinner table was you don't compare the food you're eating to gross things, right? Like, "Hey, these eggs look like snot." Nobody wants to hear that, right? And now Jesus is here and he's taking this Passover meal and he's comparing it to this horrible crucifixion that he keeps talking about. How would you respond to Jesus' crucifixion? It was too much. I didn't understand it. We left the house and we began singing the traditional songs that you had to sing after the meal from the Book of Psalms. And we traveled as we sang and we went to the Mount of Olives into the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we got there, Jesus looked at each of us and he said, "Tonight, all of you will run away from me. Because it is written, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will all scatter. But after my resurrection, I will go before you and meet you in Galilee." How would you respond to Jesus' crucifixion? He keeps talking about it. How would you respond to Jesus' crucifixion? I'll tell you how I responded. I said, "Lord, if everyone else runs away, I will never run from you." And then Jesus said, "Peter, I tell you the truth. Today, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And I said to him, I said, "Even if I have to die, I will never deny you, Lord. Never." Jesus took me, James, and John. And we went further into the garden. And Jesus says, "I want to pray. I'm deeply distressed. Pray with me." And Jesus went ahead of us a little bit, and I saw him lay face down on the ground, and he was praying, and he was praying to God. He said, "Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me, but not my will, let your will be done." So I prayed like him. I got down on the ground, and I laid down, and I fell asleep. It was late. It was dark. It had been such a long day. We were so emotionally exhausted and tired. And Jesus kept coming and waking us up and saying, "Pray, keep praying." And so I'd try to pray and I'd fall back asleep and I was in and out of sleep. And then finally Jesus came over and he said something that woke all of us right up. He said, "Get up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners." And I got up. And as I did, I saw these torches coming through the garden towards us. And there was a mob. And all of them had clubs or swords. And I don't know how many there were, maybe 40. And leading them was Judas. And I thought to myself, when did he leave? I don't remember not seeing him. And Judas came up and he kissed Jesus on the cheek and he said, "Greetings, Rabbi." Jesus took a step back and said, "What have you come to do?" As soon as he said that, this man, it was Malchus, the chief priest's most trusted servant, pointed to Jesus and he said, "That's the one! Arrest him!" And before I could respond, the mob came on Jesus and they bound his arms together with leather straps like an animal, like a common criminal. And I remember standing there watching this, and I thought to myself, no, no, not like this, not like this. There's more of you than me, but if I'm going down, I'm taking you dogs with me. And I unsheathed my sword, and I ran toward Malchus, and I was ready to split his skull open like a piece of rotted fruit. And as I brought my sword down, he dodged to the side. I missed his head, but I managed to cut off his right ear. And as my sword was on the ground, I was ready to bring it back up and gut him like an animal. And as I was about to do that, Jesus, tied up, shouted to me, Peter, stop! And I stopped. And I looked around and the mob was bearing down on me, but they stopped too. And Jesus said, put your sword away. Don't you know that those who live by a sword will die by a sword? Or don't you think that I can't call upon my heavenly Father and He will at once send 12 legions of angels to save me? But then how will prophecy be fulfilled? How will my purposes be fulfilled? Put your sword away. Jesus began chastising the mob for arresting Him under the cover of night and secrecy. I dropped my sword. What could I do? He was going to let them arrest Him. He was going to let them torture Him. He was going to let them murder Him. And He just stood there. I couldn't argue. I couldn't fight. I wasn't just going to stand there. So I ran. We all ran. I thought I loved Jesus more than myself. I thought I would have done anything for Him. I was wrong. You know the rest of the story. Jesus did indeed save all of Israel. He did indeed save the whole world. That child who was born all those years ago in Bethlehem did indeed grow up to save the world by dying on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. My sins and your sins. After He was resurrected from the dead, He told us disciples, all disciples, including you, to go into all the world and make more disciples, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, to proclaim His good news about the forgiveness of sins to all people. So I did. Well, imperfectly. Even though Jesus had ascended into heaven, I kept running away from Him. By my actions, by my deeds, by going back to my old ways time and time again, until one day I did what I couldn't do in Gethsemane. I stood. I didn't argue, I didn't fight, I just stood on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you stand? Will you stand? There is a day of darkness and evil coming down on your lives where sin, Satan, and the world will come against you. Will you stand or will you run away? You have all run away. You have all betrayed Jesus, the King of Kings, time and time again, over and over in your lives. And you have rightly felt guilt and shame because you betrayed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords like I did. But then you feel this alien righteousness, this alien justification. Something creeps into your soul and you feel joy when you should feel nothing but shame. Aye, that's Christ. That's Christ through God the Holy Spirit. And he comes, and even though you failed him time and time again, he lifts you up over and over and over again. He keeps lifting you up, standing you up after your failures, until one day you stand. And in that day where you stand with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, you die to yourself. And you realize there is power in the cross of Jesus. You realize there is power in dying to yourself and living for Christ instead of for yourself. You realize there is something so much more beautiful and powerful. And then God will reveal to you and you will see the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And you will see the hand of God and you will marvel. Oh, you will marvel that you could have ever lived a different way. How should you respond to the crucifixion of Jesus? You should respond to the crucifixion by standing upon the name of Jesus. Stand with Jesus. Stand when you are ridiculed. Stand when you are arrested. Stand when you are hated. Stand when you are crucified. Don't fight them. Don't argue with them. Don't use their weapons. You stand and you realize there is power in standing and saying, "Here I stand, I shall not move." Stand. You stand. You stand when you're tired and worn out. You stand when you're a coward and you want to run away. You stand when you're enraged and you want to fight. You stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should respond to the crucifixion of Jesus by standing firm in Jesus Christ. The one who was born in a feeding trough died for your sins. Stand.